Welcome back.
This is Word of Mouth on New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. First, a warning to vegetarians and vegans. This next segment is about meat and fish and fowl, the kind of foods that our not-so-distant ancestors ate, prepared for today's palates. Take coffee-crusted elk strap, pheasant marsala, or country-fried antelope. Our culture's taste for whole local foods and predilection for snout-to-tail eating has long been celebrated by hunters, trappers, and harvesters of wild game. Colin Kearns is deputy editor of Field & Stream magazine and editor of the Wild Chef column and blog, where such recipes are exchanged with enthusiastic readers. Colin, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So Field & Stream has a food blog. That really hooked us. Do you hear that reaction from others when you tell them what you do for a living?
We do. You know, the general consensus is that, you know, we're all about hunting and fishing, and that's true. You know, our main goal is to teach our readers how to be better hunters and fishermen, but there's a lot of delicious food out there, and, you know, we see our mission is to be able to teach readers how to prepare that meat as best as they can.
It's funny. My grandfather was an avid sportsman. I grew up around Field & Stream, but never connected it to cooking. Is this a new phenomenon?
I think it's not new. It's for the hardcore hunter and fisherman. You know, this is one of the main motivations for getting outside, so you can bring these delicious harvests back. But I think it's becoming a lot more popular now with the whole locavore movement. People are starting to realize just how delicious this fish is, and as they become more aware of wanting to know where their food comes from, I think you're seeing a lot more people interested in taking up hunting and fishing and gathering their own wild game and fish.
Yeah, and foodie culturists just love it. I noticed that you do have some recipes here from A-list chefs.
We do. There are plenty of chefs out there who, when they're not in the kitchens or, you know, working on cookbooks or appearing on Top Chef, they love to get out in the woods or on the water and fish and hunt themselves. And this past December, we had chefs like John Besh and John Kearns feature some of their favorite wild game recipes with us. And that's always a big hit for our readers to see these recipes from such famous chefs.
There is so much circulating and popular in urban culture. You know, people are raising their own chickens. I don't know how many memoirs I've seen about butchering one's own animals, you know, using every bit of the animal. But then they write a memoir about it as if they discovered it. Is there kind of meeting of cultures going on here at the Wild Chef blog?
I don't think so. I think for us, you know, it's just that's always been part of the whole experience. You know, you go outside and you harvest your own game, and then it's, you know, while some readers of ours will have take their meat to a butcher to have it processed, I think the vast majority of them like to do it at home and take it. They take it very seriously. It's a lot of fun, and it's just another connection that they can have with the animal. And I think it's neat to see more people doing this on their own as well and discovering that part of the process.
I read, Colin, about recipes using offal or imagine eating antelope sausage, and forgive me, I do think, ooh, you know, I've never done that before. And that's what you have to overcome. How about you when you're serving? You know, you cook this stuff. When you serve a venison Reuben to a friend, do you feel like you have to kind of talk them into it?
Not really. I just I ask them to just keep an open mind, and if they like it, great. And if they don't, I make sure they know that I'll eat the rest of it for them. But you know, I just ask that, you know, trust me, this is good. You're going to like it, I think. And I've never had any problems with venison I've made for friends or for my wife. That once they taste it, you know, they're like, oh yeah, now I get it. This is really, really good.
I suppose the rap, though, is that certain meats are gamey. Now, is this unfair? I mean, are there unfairly targeted meats that say, oh, they taste gamey? Or maybe even one that you think is too gamey for most people?
You know, gamey, that is, I guess, kind of the stigma or kind of the go-to description that people, label anything that's wild. But for me, you know, that's all the character. That's why I think it's delicious. There is some venison tastes different from beef, but, you know, beef tastes different from chicken. And for me, I think that's, you know, why the character comes in, and that's what makes it so good. But, you know, there are ways to, I guess, reduce or minimize that gaminess, if you will. You know, you can age your venison before you butcher it and prepare it. And, you know, there are ways to season it and make it a little more palatable, I guess, for the uninitiated eaters.
Colin Currence is deputy editor of Field & Stream magazine and editor of the Wild Chef column and blog. David Draper writes for The Wild Chef, and that's where you can find some amazing recipes for some of the products that hunters, trappers, and fisher people, I guess they're called, bring home. But it is very practical, too. I read something about grilling trout over an open fire, how to remove the forelegs on a white-tailed deer, using up the spare parts of meat. It strikes me that these are traditions that have been lost along the way.
I think so. And, you know, that's one of the goals of the blog is to kind of not only remind these people, our readers, that, you know, these are things that you should do and give a try, but also, you know, teach them how to do it. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, one thing to say, hey, this is great, this is a lot of fun, you should do it. But, you know, that's, you know, they can't do it if they don't know how. So that's we try to approach the blog as a way to not only inspire people, but instruct them on how they can do these things.
What about interaction with readers? It seems like a lively discussion. What have you discovered about your audience from their contributions?
That they're really good chefs. Every week we'll have a little contest between readers where we'll cook something and take a photograph of our meal, and we encourage them to do the same. And, you know, we'll pit their photograph versus ours, and, you know, the audience gets to vote for which one they think's best. And David and I, we don't have the strongest record because our readers cook some amazing-looking dishes that often beats out what we have to offer. So it's really neat to see not only our readers emulating what we're teaching them how to do on the blog, but also coming to us with these just really, really delicious looking recipes that inspire us to follow their lead in our kitchens.
Here in New Hampshire, people don't have to go so far to find some of these products, but we did look up prices for some of the products for those living in urban areas. So, for example, we found 2 3-pound racks of wild boar for $109 from a New York City purveyor, pheasant cranberry sausage running at about $15 a pound. Is there an economic advantage to hunting and fishing and gathering one's own food?
Oh, absolutely. You know, basically, you know, assuming you have all the gear, whether it's fishing rods or a rifle and, you know, the camouflage and whatnot, all you have to do from there is buy a hunting license. And, you know, if you're hunting in your own state or fishing in your own state, those are very reasonable. And, you know, you can come home with just tons and tons of delicious meat and fish that, you know, if you treat it properly and preserve it in the freezer and seal it, it'll last you for a long time. I still have some venison roast from a deer I shot in North Carolina last year, and I'm still enjoying it. And, you know, that's meat that would cost, I don't even want to know how much at a local store here in New York City.
Well, we want to thank you, Colin, for sharing some of your advice and thoughts with us today.
Thank you very much.
Colin Currence, deputy editor of Field & Stream magazine and editor of the Wild Chef column and blog. David Draper writes for The Wild Chef. You'll find a link to recipes and the continuing conversation at wordofmouthradio.org. You can also find more on Facebook and on Twitter. Now coming up, a medical monolith, very unconventional approach to improving the workday of its most valuable assets, the nurses. That's when Word of Mouth continues on NHPR.